You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Success in the eyes of the world? You're ready to be on the cover of Forbes? But you don't know Christ. And so you're going to answer for your sins if you don't get a substitute. That's the deal. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him has an attorney. Yes. And are you ready? He operates pro bono because he paid the price.
In a world obsessed with fleeting success, today's message from Pastor Jeff urges you to redirect your focus on what will never falter: God's eternal love. The temporary triumphs of this world may momentarily satisfy, but ultimately, they're hollow and destructive. If you want to rise above it all, fix your gaze on the enduring treasures of heaven, where true fulfillment and eternal joy await. By investing in heavenly treasures, you're aligning yourself with a purpose that transcends the frivolous worldly measures of success. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, as he continues his message, He Took Your Place.
So it seems to me that he was younger than he was old, and now his life is cut short. This man, Barabbas, his life is cut short. It's curtains for him. He's sitting in a cell, and the next time they come to his cell, it's going to be to take him away. In fact, he lived every day in fear of every footstep he heard. Coming down that long corridor, the longest walk, it's called. When they come to get you and you're on death row and they're going to take you to where they're going to execute you, it's called the longest walk, the longest mile. And he's thinking, is this it? He hears the footsteps coming. He hears the keys jingling. He hears the muffled voices of the soldiers. And he lived in fear. Is this it? Is this my time? Are they coming to get me? Now hold that thought. Think of this man. He doesn't know God. He has no idea who God is. He's all about rebellion, living his own life, chasing his own dreams. That's what he's all about. But there's a picture here for you and me, because Barabbas is a type of us. You say, well, Jeff, I'm not a killer. I'm not a murderer. I'm not any of those things. I'm not a thief. I'm not sitting in a cell waiting to be executed. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that the whole world is condemned to eternal death. Now, I'm going to get real with you. I got to tell you the truth about the Word of God. I don't care what modern psychologists tell us about human nature. I don't want to know what modern thinking is, because modern thinking has gone totally wacko. But here's the deal. The Bible says that we're a lot like Barabbas. And here's how. Barabbas was condemned to die. It was over. There was nothing left but the doing of it. He's just waiting for his hour to come. But here's the picture. Just like Barabbas, the entire human race is under a sentence of death. Do you know that? Eternal death. Not just death on a cross where your body dies, but eternal death. That's what the Bible says. That's why Jesus came. That's why we have Resurrection Sunday. That's why we have Christmas morning. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him would not what? Perish. Into what? Eternal death. But that all should come to the knowledge of the truth, and all should have eternal life. If you believe on him, you are given eternal life, and you are delivered from eternal death. So Barabbas is a type. He's a picture, a snapshot, a microcosm of you and me, all of us. The Bible says that if we don't come to Christ and his blood cover us, then we will die in our sins. And if we die in our sins, we will answer for our sins. And that's just the truth. And if you're watching online right now, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. Listening later by radio or watching on social media, maybe you don't know Jesus. And I'm going to tell you the truth. The Bible says, if we die in our sins, we will answer for our sins, and we're condemned to eternal death. Barabbas was condemned to physical death, but we have been condemned to eternal death unless we come to Christ. The Bible says this about you and me, Romans 3, verse 10. No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Do you get the idea? He's wanting us to know that nobody, listen to this, no one, not even one, no one, no one, all, no one, not a single one. Okay, I don't think there's any. And the inescapable consequence of sin, breaking God's law, is the wages of sin is death. Now, let me put it this way. Every week or every other week or maybe once a month, you get a paycheck. You work all week and you deserve a paycheck and you get paid. And so your boss hands you a check and it's your wage. So the Bible's telling us that sin has a wage or a paycheck. Sin gives you a paycheck. Now, throughout life, your paycheck is you reap what you sow. And if you sin, then you are going to reap the consequences of sin. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow more than you sow, later than you sow. You don't sow sin and reap righteousness. You don't sow oranges and get apples. You don't sow pecans and get grapes. And you don't sow sin and get anything good out of it. It gives you a paycheck. It gives you a paycheck routinely, cyclically. If you go into sin, you will pay. There's a paycheck. There's no way around it. But the ultimate paycheck is when you die, if you die in your sins, sin hands you a paycheck. And the paycheck is eternal death. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes on him would not perish. What does that mean? Eternal death. Eternal separation from God. That's the paycheck. I don't want that paycheck. Anybody want that paycheck? If you want that paycheck, come talk to me after this service. I don't want that paycheck. God declares the soul who sins will die. So this is the inescapable truth that we were all doomed, like Barabbas. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. You say, now, I talk to people, not me. Now, come on, Jeff, I don't need to repent of anything. I'm basically a good person. Ask my spouse. You really want me to? That's another message. Be careful what you say there. Or I'm a great dad or a great mom. I'm a great granddad, a great grandmom, and I do great at work, and I'm a great neighbor. I've never gotten a traffic ticket. My name is nowhere in police records. I've been an upstanding American citizen my whole life. What do I need to repent for? Well, have you ever broken God's law? Well, you know, maybe every once in a while, hang on. Let me ask you, have you ever told a lie? Don't lie. If anybody said, well, no, you just lied in church, and God knows it. How about a lusted? Have you ever lusted? How about cussed? Have you ever cursed? You ever taken God's name in vain? Have you ever gossiped? Watch out now. Have you ever gossiped about somebody else? Did you know that's breaking one of the commandments? What about cheated? You ever cheated? How about greedy? You ever been greedy? Or have you ever put something or someone else before God, because that's idolatry. You shall have no other gods before me is the first commandment. Have you ever broken it? Have you ever put something or someone above God? We all have. How about disrespecting your parents? Or have you ever wanted something somebody else owned? That house, that car, those clothes, that person's spouse. Thank you. I'm not getting a lot of amens, but that's okay. I knew I wouldn't. No, folks, the real crying shame is that these kinds of messages are harder and harder to find in America, because what you're going to find is motivational seminars. Listen, people need to hear why Jesus came. why he came. Evangelist D.L. Moody, one of my favorites, once asked his congregation this question, quote, if a man hangs over a cliff by a chain of 10 links, how many of those links must be broken in order to dash that man to his death? Everybody say, one. All you got to do is break one commandment. Whoever keeps the whole law, wrote James, and yet stumbles at just one point, one link, one commandment, is guilty of breaking all of it. So if you want to try to be right before God by the keeping of the commandments, go ahead, have a great day. You won't make it to the end of the day. You will not keep the Ten Commandments. You won't make it by the end of the day. Because you got to perfectly do it. From the time you breathe your first breath till the time you breathe your last breath, you've got to do it perfectly, or you're going to answer for your sins when you face God. The only person who was ever able to live the commandments out was Christ. That's it, Jesus. He lived it out perfectly. Can you imagine living a life where never one time did you have to look up and say, oops, Father, forgive me, I should not have done that, said that, thought that, gone there. But he never did. You know what makes me sick? His mother never had to paddle him. Don't you know that bugged his siblings? How come Jesus is never in trouble? How come we're always the ones in trouble? Right? Well, here's why. We don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Talking about Jesus. But we have one, capital O, who has been tempted in every way like we are, yet he did not sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So our Lord Jesus, he never sinned. He never messed up. So just like Barabbas was condemned to die, so is the whole human race condemned to die if we don't find a solution to the sin. Now, I got good news for you. Here's the good news. Barabbas was given a substitute to take his place. Let me talk to you about that. Why did there have to be a substitute to take Barabbas' place? In the sovereignty of God, Jesus took his place. Because God is holy, he's also just. Now, he's a God of love. We love talking about God's love, and that's true. He's a God of love. But he's also a God of holiness, and because he's a God of holiness, he's a God of justice. Okay? And that means he requires full payment for any sin committed in his universe. He requires justice for any sin committed in his universe. And the full payment, if you don't let somebody step in for you like Christ, the full payment is death. The soul that sins, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:20. The only way around you and I dying in our sins and facing God and having to answer for all of our sins is that we need a substitute provided for us, somebody to take our place. And on that day, somebody had to die in Barabbas' place. He was toast. It was over. It was done. It was finished. Terminado. Is that how you say it? I'm trying. Something like that in Spanish. It was finished. He was done. Someone had to take the punishment for him, and somebody had to take the punishment for us to be judged in our place. That's why Jesus came. Muhammad didn't do that for you. Buddha didn't do that for you. Some New Age God didn't do that for you. There's only one that went to a cross and spilled his blood and hung there in our place. In our place. Don't you know that Barabbas' stomach turned into knots when he heard the footsteps coming that day that Jesus was crucified? Think about it with me. He's in his cell. He's all alone. He has memories of mom and dad and whoever, maybe siblings. But his life is done, and he hears the footsteps coming. He hears the muffled voices. He hears the keys jingling and jangling. And he said, this is it. They're coming to get me. They come to his door. I want you to think about this. Put yourself in his place. How stunned he must have been. When they open up that door, he's thinking they're going to say, okay, let's go. But one of these gruff Roman guards says, man, you're a lucky man. The governor has freed you. Another will die in your place. Say what? Don't joke with me. This is my last day. I'm not joking with you. Prison door is open. Walk out. You're free. Hook them. Because another is going to die in your place. And that's the only way you got out of this. Who? Who's dying in my place? The dude going around saying he's God. The one going around saying he's the Messiah, you know, the crazy guy. He's going in your place. I've often wondered, did Barabbas walk out of the prison, still not believing his eyes and ears, and did he say, I got to hang around long enough to see who took my place? And then they bring Jesus out. Did the sacred eyes of Christ lock eyes with this guilty killer? And if they did, I know what he felt. I'm the one that should be going, not him. How in the world is he dying instead of me? How in the world is he being crucified and going through all that hell instead of me? God did it. Listen, and he did it for us. Are you, folks, when you got saved, then it was just like this. The Holy Ghost came to you and said, you're free. Come out of your prison. Well, how can I come out of this prison of sin and degradation and deprivation and all the way that I've been living? How can I come out of hell? How can I do that? And the Holy Ghost had a message for all of us. Somebody went in your place. His name is Jesus. And all of the guilt and all of the judgment and all of the blame was laid on him. Isaiah said, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of all of us. And he took the rap. Listen to this. When we were utterly helpless with no way of escape, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners who had no use for him. Even if we were good, we really wouldn't expect anybody to die for us, though of course, somebody might. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, still his enemies, still hating God and God's ways. He still died for us then. He went in our place. When Pilate faced the crowd right before he turned Jesus over, he asked the most important question anybody will ever answer. And I think he was trying to get them to change their mind. He said, look, what shall I do with Jesus? You say you want Barabbas, a killer, a murderer, a seditionist, a thief, a liar, a no good scoundrel? You want him? And they said, give us Barabbas. But he asked the question, what am I going to do with Jesus? Now, the question everybody's got to answer. Everybody will answer it. What shall I do with Jesus? What am I going to do with Jesus? You can stand back and say, I don't care about him. You can stand back and say, well, I'm just not ready to think about religious stuff. You can push him away and say, just leave me alone. Don't cramp my style. I like my life. I like what I'm doing. You can ignore him altogether. You can talk yourself out of him being the Messiah. But either way, you're going to decide. I'm going to decide. I have decided. To not decide is to decide. Well, when I'm old and retired and got my gold ring and my Rolex watch and my 401k and I'm hitting the links, maybe then I'll think about Christ. You may never hit the links. You don't know if you have tomorrow. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and poof, it's gone. We're all going to decide. And they all did. Oh, to say his blood be upon us and upon our children and their children's children. Do you know that 37 years later after they said that, they lost their nation, they lost their city, they lost their temple, and over a million of them lost their lives. That's how pivotal the question is. See, when God comes to you with that question, you don't know how long you have, or you don't know the consequences on the other side of saying no. 37 years later, some of the ones that hammered the nails in were taken out. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? You're going to do something with him. What are you going to do with him? Now, I'm so thankful that when I was 16 and I heard the gospel, oh, mercy. You talk about being at a crossroads. Robert Frost wrote that famous poem. I don't care about the rest of the poem, but here's the truth. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. I came to a crossroads, a juncture. And I could have gone this way and I could have gone that way. And when you hear the gospel, you're at that crossroad. You may never hear it again. And that night, by the grace of God, I repented and got right with Christ. And it set the trajectory for the rest of my life. I went this way. So many of my friends, all my friends at the time, went the other way. I've buried some of them. I know I'm sounding heavy, but this is heavy. I've buried some of them. They became drug addicts, alcoholics, got their lives all messed up, never did. But aside from that, you can be an up and outer, not a down and outer. You can be riding high on making a whole bunch of money. Success in the eyes of the world. You're ready to be on the cover of Forbes, but you don't know Christ. And so you're going to answer for your sins if you don't get a substitute. That's the deal. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him has an attorney. Yes. And are you ready? He operates pro bono because he paid the price. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed somebody to wash my sins away. On the road to the resurrection, Christ's life intersected with Barabbas. And Barabbas got set free. Did he later come to Christ? I have to believe he did. I have to believe he did. I don't know. But I have to believe he did.
When life feels overwhelming, where do you turn? What do you do when you feel boxed and don't know how to overcome it all? Today in his message, Pastor Jeff illustrated that you don't need to navigate these trials alone. You have the greatest supporter, the one who beckons for you to join him in his divine kingdom, Jesus. His outstretched hand is an invitation to release the burdens that threaten to crush your spirit. He'll never leave your side.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire, host of the Hardwired broadcast, and I'm so excited to tell you about this month's offer for you, our listeners. For a gift of $40 or more, we want to send you the beautiful new Bible put out by Tyndale called Immerse, the Reading Bible. Our offer contains a beautiful Reads Like Butter New Testament featuring the New Living Translation. The Immerse Bible New Testament contains no chapters, no verses, just like the original manuscripts in which the Bible was written, so that it reads more like a story. It also comes with an 8-week reading plan, maps, and a helpful summary of every New Testament book. So if you want to try a really unique approach to your daily Bible reading, just go to hardwire.org and click Donate Now to give your gift of $40 or more. We'll send you the Immerse Bible immediately. And thanks once again for your support of Hardwired. Every dollar we receive will go toward reaching the world with God's Word.
In your narrative of redemption, where do you put your energy? Where do you intentionally invest your time? In Pastor Jeff's next message, he wants you to never forget what Jesus did on the cross. In divine humility, he took on human form. Why? To undertake the weight of your mistakes and be the offering in your place. Embrace the liberation that comes from a debt-free existence. Let the cleansing blood of Jesus wash away your sin and set you free. Thanks for taking time to be with us today as we studied God's Word. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Jeff, visit hardwired.org. On behalf of Pastor Jeff and the entire production team, we invite you to join us again right here on Hardwired.